Good morning. Today's daf in Sota Lamed Hey. Thank the Massuth family of West Orange, New Jersey for sponsorship of the entire Masechta. Learning that we do Shabila Zecher Nishmas Nechemia Ben Avraham. We are starting this morning on the very bottom of Lamed Almed Beis, and we go back to the Meraglim. If we can follow the thread of the Gemara is weaving in and out of various drashas. We've been darshing the last couple of days. We're going to be continuing to darshan today. Various topics. We're going to talk about the Meraglim. We're going to go back to the crossing of the Yarden. We're going to do a little bit this morning regarding the transportation of the Aron from the Plishtim back to David HaMelech. Okay, so a lot of various topics that we're going to be covering over the course of today. How did we get to the topic of the Meraglim? So yesterday we were talking about carrying heavy stones. carrying heavy stones. There are a number of stones in the course of today's daf. We're going to go over three sets of stones in total. But stones were lifted as we're crossing over the Yarden. And so how big were those stones? Those stones were 40 saw. We already commented yesterday that is a measurement of volume, not a measurement of weight. So we're talking, and David pointed out yesterday that it's hard to imagine basically carrying the stone the size of a mikvah. A kasher mikvah is 40 saw. So that's a tremendous stone, hard to imagine, but they carried those stones, and a person can lift and carry that stone. And the Gemara yesterday pointed out that if you can lift and carry 40 saw, so then if somebody were to load you and you didn't have to lift it off the ground, so you can carry three times that amount. So in other words, the maximum capacity of a person in terms of what he can carry is 120. Okay. So anyway, so we got there, and you talk about carrying heavy things, the Meraglim. The Meraglim carried heavy things. In other words, what did they carry? A cluster of grapes. Generally speaking, cluster of grapes, you don't view as a heavy item. But it's from Eretz Yisrael. It came back from Eretz Yisrael. 8 Meraglim were necessary in order to carry the cluster of grapes. And so since that was our transitional point, so since we talked about carrying heavy items, we talked about the Meraglim, and we darshened the Meraglim, and that's where we're going to start today. So now the Gemara is going to focus all of its attention to the Meraglim, darshening various psukim amongst the Meraglim. Meraglim, obviously, found in Parsha Shlach, Perek Gimel, and here we are. Vayashuva mitura aret. So we are on the bottom, Lamed Almed Beis, and literally the last line, the last three words, Vayashuva mitura aret. And we turn to the top of Lamed Hey Amad Aleph. Vayelchu vayavo, and they go. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishem Rabbi Shem Amar Yochanan, Mekish Halicha Labia, Ma Bia, Be'etzara, Afalicha Be'etzara. So already, while they were headed towards Eretz Yisrael, so they already were planning, meaning that their in other words, their Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, so that was not an idea that was germinated in Eretz Yisrael, but rather the idea already started well earlier. In other words, while they were leaving to Eretz Yisrael, already they were planning. In other words, the Gemara learns this via Hekesh. Again, all the tools that we use in order to develop halacha and learn out halacha. So the Gemara is using those very same tools in terms of drashas as well. Why the Gemara wants to make this point, meaning the Gemara wants to speak about the rishus of the Meraglim, that already they were designing this to speak poorly of Eretz Yisrael, even as they were headed towards Eretz Yisrael, not knowing what they were going to see. Okay. Obviously the Gemara is making a point, but just to simply say that they are real rishayim. Obviously, I think the Gemara is saying more than that. It definitely requires more analysis, more investigation. We continue. So now, uksiv efes ki azam. So what do they do? So they first come back and they say, you know what, Eretz Yisrael is beautiful, right? They say zavas chalav udvash v'zeh pirya, land flowing with milk and honey. This is the fruit. They actually are coming back with props, and they're showing off the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. And then they said, but the nation over there is unbelievably strong. And Amar Rav Yochanan, the Gemara points out over here that the Meraglim, really, their true intent was to speak Lashon Hara. But meanwhile, they said many positive things. And the Gemara says that was a strategy. Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Meir, Kol Lashon Hara. Shein bo davar emes b'tchila, so in miskayim b'sofo. So you want to speak Lashon Hara. In other words, of course, none of us do. And obviously, we want to stay as far away from it as possible. But, in other words, we learn from the Meraglim that if you want your Lashon Hara to be successful, if you want it to really penetrate, so what you need to do is that you need to insert honest things into the Lashon Hara. You have to balance between that which is accurate and correct and the parts which are not accurate and correct and the parts that you want to that you want to malign and speak poorly about. So that was the strategy on the Meraglim, and obviously it worked. In other words, that strategy worked. And the Gemara is, of course, not saying a b'derech shavach, meaning, obviously, the Gemara is just simply pointing out that the Meraglim were very schematic. They were very intent on speaking the Lashon Hara, and they wanted the Lashon Hara to really penetrate, and it did. Now, Kalev got everybody's attention. Again, I'm assuming everybody here knows the general storyline. We're not going through the psukim. I'm assuming right now the listener already knows the general psukim, and it's just a question now of going through the drushas of Chazal. And the next stop we are here is Kalev gets everyone's attention. How does Kalev get everyone's attention? So the Gemara gives us the strategy of Kalev. So Pasuk Yeshua de Kamishtaye Amrile Din Rosh Kiti Yamalel. So Yeshua tried to get everyone's attention. Yeshua was unsuccessful. So what the people said regarding Yeshua is Resh Kitiya Yimalel. So this head that is cut off. So he's going to be speaking to us. Now that's a strange way to describe Yeshua. Why are the people describing Yeshua in such a manner? Rashi offers two pshatim. The first pshat of Rashi is that Yeshua did not have any sons. And as a result of that, he's considered Resh Kitiya. Meaning that when you have sons, so you have someone who's going to be passing on the lineage, the yichus of the family. Yeshua didn't have that. He only had daughters. And so therefore they described him as Resh Kitiya. He's cut off. So that is one pshat in Rashi. See Rashi for a second pshat. I'm not going to go through it right now. So Amar. So now as Yeshua tried to talk and to basically calm everybody down, so everyone just shouted Yeshua down. Okay, so that didn't work. So now Kalev says, okay, I'm going to try to do the same thing. I'm going to try to calm everybody down, but I need to get everyone's attention. And obviously, they already saw Yehoshua tried and failed. You know what? I got to do something different. So Kalev does something different. Amar. So if I try, so all they're going to do is they're going to muzzle me. So Amar lehen v'chizebu varas alana ben Amram. So he says, look, is that all that Ben Amram did? Now, just the tone, right? He was describing Moshe, but instead of saying Moshe, he said the words Ben Amram, right? Son of Amram. So in other words, already that's disrespectful. It's disparaging. What the people thought is that he was going to pile on. In other words, he was going to co-sign what the Meraglim said. So, Savri Begnuse Kamishtaye. That's what everyone thought, that he was going to say Gnus. He was going to say disparaging things about Moshe, about Eretz Yisrael. So, Ishtiku. So everyone gave their attention to Kalev. Remember we said in yesterday's daf, Kalev was a Chashuv. He was of the Meraglim. He was one of the more significant. Right? The Gemara said yesterday, he didn't carry anything back. Why? Because he was Chashuv. So now Kalev had something to say, and not only that, but at least at this point in time, they thought that he was going to co-sign what the Meraglim said. Everyone was quiet so they could listen to what he said. So Amar Lehu, so what did Kalev say? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what he said. So Amar Lehu, Ishtiku, sorry. Amar Lehu, Otsiyenu Mimitzrayim, V'karlanu Yisiyam V'chilanu Saman. So you know what Hashem did for us? I'll tell you what he did for us. It's very simple. Split the sea. Let's go back. Took us out of Mitzrayim, split the sea. Gave us a man. Look, if he told us to make ladders and go up to heaven, like we would have done it. So, and in fact, that's pshat in the psukim, meaning the let's go up. Let's conquer it. Meaning, Kalev said, look, Akash Baruch Hu is basically taking care of us since the time that we left Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim. And we'll just do whatever he asks. It's not a big deal. Hashem will take care of us, is what Kalev tried to argue to basically calm everybody down. Obviously to no avail, but at least from the Gemara, we got a little more insight in terms of how did he at least get everyone's attention. V'anashim asher alu imo amr lo nuchal. Amr Rabbi Chanina bar Papa davagadol dibra meraglam ba'oso sha'a. Ki chazaku mimenu. You look at the end of the pasuk that the Gemara just cited. Again, we're still in the 13th parak of Bamidbar, obviously. And it says, ki chazaku mimenu. We can't go because it is greater than us. Right? Ki chazaku mimenu. It's greater than us. So, al tikra mimenu ala mimenu. So, don't read as mimenu ala mimenu. So, kaviyachol afilo balabais and yachol al sikelav misham. So, mimenu can mean from us. It could also mean from him. And what you could understand, the Gemara does in fact understand, that the mimenu is not a reference to us, meaning Bnei Yisrael, but rather mimenu from him, meaning Akash Baruch Hu, meaning they're too strong for him, capital H. And in other words, obviously now they're speaking blasphemy. Something a Kadosh Baruch Hu can't do. Okay, that's the Davar Gadol. A great thing, but great over here, not in the positive sense, but in the very negative sense. That's where they spoke. Rashi over here does spend a little bit of time going over the Gemara's language of Al Tikre. Don't read it Mimenu, but rather Mimenu. Because the truth of the matter is, Rashi writes, is that grammatically speaking, and in terms of how we're going to pronounce the word, it's the same word. Meaning if Mimenu means us or Mimenu means him, it's going to be pronounced the same. So the Al Tikre, don't read it like this, but rather read it like this. So Rashi says that's not a proper girsa of the Gemara. Because we're not changing the reading of the Gemara. This is not one of those kriyug sivs, but rather, this just simply means that we have a word in Lashon HaKodesh that can mean one of two things. It could either mean us, or it could mean him. And over here, the Torah writes it intentionally so that it can mean either one of those. Okay. So the Rashi takes it out. Fine. Eretz Ochos Yoshvehi. Again, we go back to the reporting of the Meraglim, and they said, you know, that this land that consumes its inhabitants. And the Gemara explains, Darish Rava, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Cheshavti L'Tova. So, in order to understand this next piece of Gemara, so we need just a little bit of background over here, and that is that we went into Eretz Yisrael, so everybody was dying. Okay. Now, what Kadosh Baruch Hu did is that he wanted to create a distraction. In other words, you're going to have these spies coming in, and if you're caught as a spy, so you're going to probably be killed. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that. So, what he did was is that he created a great distraction. So he created now a number of people dying in Eretz Yisrael. So a number of the Kananim dying. And oh, by the way, they weren't just anybody. In other words, they were Chashuvim. Significant people in Eretz Yisrael dying. There were many burials taking place. And obviously that would serve as a distraction. So that the Meraglim would come in and nobody would notice. Now, when they saw that, so they thought, in other words, what's happening over here is, I don't know what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, but everybody's dying. So that's what they thought. This is Rava's drasha. Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu Ani Chashavti L'Tova. Now, of course, when I did this, my intent, of course, was that it would be good. Again, the distraction we just got done describing. Vehem Chashu L'Ra. But when the Meraglim saw it, they thought, oh, this is bad. Ani Chashavti L'Tova D'Chol Echad D'Matu Meis Chashiv Didu. So the Gemara says that the Chashuvim died in Canaan. And kihecha de ninteru, de nitradu. And that way they'll be totally preoccupied with the burial of their chashuvim. V'lo l'shala basrayu. And meanwhile, the meraglim can go in and they can be totally unnoticed. Igadami, another version, the Gemara says, is the Iyov nachnaf shev itradu kuleyama be'ez peida. Heim chashu l'ra, eretz ochalos yashvehi. Now, in a slightly different version, so it's basically the same idea, but over here, instead of all the chashuvim of Canaan dying, so what happened in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan? Eov died. And once Eov died, so that's it. So so everybody in Eretz Yisrael was getting involved in the burial of Eov. Now, in the second version, where it's the death of Eov, as opposed to the entirety, so again, it gets back to that really large question of who's Eov, when did he live? Right, Jewish, not Jewish, meaning just right. Eov is a moving target in terms of his identity and who he is, and Rashi points out over here that Eov in this version, Eov was obviously somebody living in Canaan. Let's assume he wasn't Jewish. We can go back to a Gemara that we did right here in Sota. He was one of the advisors of Paro. We could suggest that. Okay, it's on the table. Anyway, but the reason why the death of Eov served as a tremendous distraction is because all the Canaanim were involved in the burial of Eov because they knew that he provided zchus. He had tremendous merits that were given by Eov that served as protection for the entire Eretz Yisrael. Rashi writes that is pshat in the pasuk sar tzilei me'aleihem. You know, their shade, the protective shade is removed from them. And Rashi says, at least in this version, that can be understood as the death of Eov. Okay. We go back to the Gemara. We're still darshaning Pesukim in Parsha Shlach. We're on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. We are about a third of the way down, and at least the first part of today's daf, we are darshaning Pesukim regarding the Meraglim. So we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, and they felt the same way. In other words, they thought the same thing. So Amram Bishar Shia Shakri Havu sorry, Meraglim Shakri Havu. So Rav Misharshi said that the spies, they were liars. So Bishlam Avanibein in the Kachal Gavim L'chaye. The fact that they're telling us how they felt, okay, then I understand. But Ella V'chein Ayinu Beineihem. But to say that they, the inhabitants of Canaan, felt the same way, so Mina Haviyadei. Okay, they could tell us how they felt, but how in the world can they tell us how the Canaanim felt? So in other words, Rav Misharshi just simply says, okay, so they lied. And in the context of our Gemara today, we could just simply say, not their first lie. In other words, they already told a number of lies of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Veloi, but the Gemara says, but it's not true. So Kihava Mavre Aveli, the Gemara says, but they weren't lying about this particular point. In fact, here's what was happening. Remember, there were a lot of Avelim. There were a lot of mourners in Canaan, right? We're going to go with the first version, that a number of people died. So there were a lot of mourners in Canaan and involved in all the mourning. So you had Avra, right? When somebody's coming back from the cemetery, so they were giving a suit of Avra. Now, apparently, in this version of the Gemara, that seems to be a universal minhag, right? In other words, our assumption is that all the dinim of Avelos and the minhagim of Avelos are very Jewish. So the Gemara is here assuming, okay, this particular minhag. It's a very intuitive minhag. In other words, you come back from the funeral, you're distraught, you're despondent, obviously, for obvious reasons. And so therefore, food is it serves as emotional support. Okay. It's true. So the Gemara's assumption over here is that this was their minhag as well. They were given the Seudah Savra. And now the Gemara goes on to describe two seahars they have a mavre was under the cedar trees. V'chicha zinu salka yasve b'ilane. And so when they saw, meaning they, the Meraglim, saw now, as the Canaanim were approaching, ready to have a meal under the cedar tree. So what they did is they climbed up the tree. So v'shamed dekamri kachazino inchi dedam lekamtze b'ilane. And they overheard their conversation. And part of their conversation is, right, we see these like little people running up the trees. They look like little grasshoppers running up the tree, but they're people, I'm telling you. So this is the conversations that they're having, and the Meraglim overheard that conversation. So when they come back and report what they heard, so what they're reporting is that this is how they felt as well. The Gemara here is pushing back of Rav Misharshi. Not that they lied, but rather they actually overheard it. Vatisa kolei David nuus kolam v'yivku amar Rabba amar Rav Yochanan. Here we go with perhaps one of the most popular drushas, and unfortunately the most tragic of the drushas. Oh, so Ayom Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. So on that day was Erev Tisha B'Av, meaning the returning day of the Meraglim and the reporting and the Jews going into a national frenzy. So all that was Erev Tisha B'Av. The Gemara in Tanis goes through the actual calendar showing us like, day by day how it is that it actually works out, that the calendar actually works out, that they're coming back on the eve of Tisha B'Av. Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Heim Bachu B'Chia Shalchina V'Ani Ekbal Lehem B'Chia L'Daras. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so now this day, there was no reason for them to cry. In other words, they got into hysteria for no reason. So right now they're crying for no reason. So I'm going to give them a reason to cry. The Pesukim go on, V'Yimru Kol Ha'idah L'Rgom Osam Ba'Avanim. So now, after Kalev and Yehoshua are there trying to calm everybody down, so they weren't calming down. In fact, just the opposite. They were looking to stone Yehoshua and Kalev. V'Ksiv, U'chvar Hashem Nira Be'olam Oed, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Malam Mishana Lo Avanim V'Zarku Kalpe Mala. What the Jewish people are doing is taking stones and throwing it upwards. Kaviyachol, as if we could say they were trying to stone Hashem as well. In other words, their anger and their hysteria really rose to a level. We are now at the tail end of this parak, the 13th parak of Bamidbar, and now the fate of the Meraglim, they died, and they died in a most heinous death. Now, over here, the focus is on the word ba magefa. The word ba, grammatically, is in that death. Meaning, if it just said bimagefa, it just simply means in a plague. But ba magefa means in a particular plague. Okay, so what is that particular plague? Amar Rabbi Shema Malachi Shemetsu Mitzum Mishuna. So Reish Lakish says they died a particularly heinous death. Am Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Darsh Rav Shila Ish Kfar Tamarta Malami Shenishtavik L'Shonam V'Nafal Tiburam V'Yutolam Yotzim L'Shonam V'Nechnasim B'Tiburam U'Mitiburam V'Nechnasim B'Lashonam. So the Gemara over here gives a description of their tongue stretching out of their mouth, going all the way down to their belly button, and bugs crawling from their mouth into their belly button and the opposite way as well. Okay, now, unbelievably graphic description of how they died. But obviously over here, just accentuating, meaning the Gemara obviously is to be understood not on a superficial level, unfortunately, when giving over the daf. So I'm going to give it over in a more cursory way. And the Gemara over here is to be understood level upon level of understanding, right? When you see a Gemara like this, you look at the Marsha, you look at the Ben Yoyada, the Maharal has a commentary to Divrei Agadata. I did not look it up. But in other words, but this is obviously over here when the Gemara, you see a Gemara like this, right, giving such a funny description of how they died. So the Gemara over here is to be understood not in its literal sense the way I just translated it. Okay, good. Just pointing it out. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Baaskara Mesu. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said they died in Askara. Askara, some sort of disease that constricts the breathing. And so, but again, it's the same basic idea. In other words, their Avera came through what they said, and so therefore they died via Askara. Okay. That was all a tangent. And that was a long tangent, meaning that took up some of yesterday's daf and a good part of today's daf, where we discussed the Meraglim. Okay, again, we got onto the Meraglim because we talked about carrying the stones as they crossed from Yarden. Oh, you talk about carrying the Meraglim carried. They carried the cluster of grapes. And from there, we then segued and spent some time on the tangent regarding the Meraglim. We go now back to the crossing of the Yarden. The Gemara explained previously, so that they were carrying stones, and the Gemara now continues to darshan. V'kem sh'ala'ah. Ha'achron should be Solomon the Yarden. So once again, we're giving a description, right? This takes us all the way back to the beginning of this discussion of the crossing of the Yarden. And the Gemara gave like real details regarding how exactly the Yarden split. It didn't split. It actually stopped flowing. The water now not only backed up, but it backed up. Literally. In other words, instead of going backwards, it went up and it piled up. How high did it go? That was a machlokas. But meanwhile, here's what happened. And this was the beginning of the Braisa. Normally the Aaron travels in the center of the Jewish people as they are marching, as they're campaigning. But over here, the Aaron was sent to the front. And usually it's the Levim carrying the Aaron, but over here, the Kohanim are going to be carrying the Aaron. Three times historically, the Kohanim are carrying the Aaron. That was also discussed at the beginning of the Braisa. And now, if you can picture the scene, because the Gemara here is asking us to picture it, so the Aaron, the Kohanim, are now entering into the Yarden. They're coming from the east side, so they set foot on the east side of the Yarden, and the Yarden now is split, creating an opening for the Jewish people to go. Now remember, we also discussed and debated, are they going in as they are encamped, as a square mass of 12 by 12 mil? That's one possibility. Alternatively, they were walking in single file. Okay. And then all the Jews crossed over the Yarden. Now, all the Jews now are on the west side of the Yarden, and the Aaron and the Kohanim are still set foot on the east side of the Yarden. And now here's the Braisa describing what happens next. Kevin Shalah Achron should be Solom in the Yarden. The last of the Jewish people now have crossed over on the west side of the Yarden. Chazru Maimlim Kamam. So now the water goes back to its place. Shenamar. Water returns back to normal. I know I read a lot of Pesukim, but basically water goes back. So, comes out now that all the Jews are on the west side of the Yarden, but the Kohanim are still now on the east side of the Yarden, and the water returned back to normal. Okay, so simple question. Kohanim also going to get over to the other side. How are they getting over to the other side? Anyone know the answer? Gemara tells us. Now, so Aaron is no sov. So the Aaron carries them. The Aaron now picks them up and carries them over to the other side. Shinam of the Pasuk says, Vayika asher tam kol am lavor, vayavor Aaron Hashem v'konil lifnei ha'am. So it carries them over. Rashi spends, wait just 1 second. Give me one moment. Rashi spends a good amount of time over here. Rashi is a two-column Rashi in today's daf, at least on the Amud Aleph. Rashi spends a good amount of time. The pasuk that we just cited actually comes before the other pasuk that's cited. And Rashi over here writes, a mukta mamucha b'torah. It's a really interesting Rashi. It really takes us through the narrative in terms of understanding it the way the Gemara did, even though sequentially the pasukim do not go in exactly the order that we just laid it out over here in the Gemara. Just interesting. Rashi writes the principle of emuk der mamucha b'torah. Not only as it pertains to chumash, which we know Rashi is a big, I was going to say believer, not just a believer, meaning the Gemara says Ein Mukta Mamuchar B'Torah. But Rashi is liberal with his application of Ein Mukta Mamuchar B'Torah, and Rashi not only applies it to the Torah liberally, but he also applies it also to Navi as well. Meaning Rashi over here writes that this is going to be another example of Ein Mukta Mamuchar B'Torah. Yes?
I was just wondering that there is no meila for them like getting used to.
I mean, all this was done as per instruction. So, in other words, meila is when you misappropriate. But over here, this is how they were told to do. Now, we're going to take another detour. Okay? Right? A lot of detours. But it's beautiful. It's all agadata. It's all drush. So we're going to take one more detour over here. Meaning what happened is that the Aaron picked up the Kohanim and transported them over to the other side of the Yarden. Okay? And who failed to realize this? Uzzah. Now, quick reminder, quick refresher. Plishim captured the Aron during the times of Shmuel and David, and it was by the Plishim for many years, 20 in total, right? Do I have a fact checker over here? So I think 20 in total. Anyway, so and finally the Aron was sent back to Jewish possession, and in doing so. So what they did is they loaded the Aaron up on a wagon, which, as the Gemara in a moment is going to tell us, was a mistake, and it was being brought back to David HaMelech. Fine. On its way back, so what happened was is that the Aaron kind of slips, looking as if it's going to fall. Uzzah, who is accompanying the Aaron, so what he does is he looks to catch the Aaron as it's falling, and that was a mistake. Okay. And again, by the way, like as a you know, as a reaction, so, right, you know, it would have been, quote-unquote, a normal reaction, but Uzzah should have been more conscientious. Everything I'm saying right now is going to come in the Gemara, so, right, to be critical is not, you know, try to avoid it, but everything I'm saying is coming up in the Gemara. So he shouldn't have done that, he should have been more conscientious, and he shouldn't have caught the Aron, because there's no way that the Aron's going to fall. In fact, the Gemara is going to make exactly this point. If the Aaron is carrying the Kohanim over the Yarden, so you don't think the Aaron can take care of itself? Okay. And the Gemara is going to bring all this back to David HaMelech. David HaMelech shouldn't have sent it on the wagon to begin with. It didn't make its way to David. It stopped in a little town called Kiryas Ye'arim. Anyone who is in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, better known to us as Telstone. Okay? What? Telstone. Right? The little town of Telstone outside of Yerushalayim. Right. So that was Kiryas Ye'arim. That is Kiryas Ye'arim. And it stopped over there and settled in Arvana's house in Kiryas Ye'arim for a little bit. I think 3 months in total. And then finally it ends up going back to David HaMelech. Okay. So the Aldavar Zeh. Now with all that, just as a little bit of background. So Nashuza Shenamar. So the Gemara is quoting. Now it happens to be that the first citation of the Gemara is going to be in Divrei Hayamim. Which, you know, is slightly, you know, whatever. Divrei Yamim is a summary of history. But obviously it's part of Tanakh, written with Ruach HaKodesh, written with Nevuah. So obviously it's meant to be Darshan. The Gemara is going to Darshan. Vayavo Adgaron Kidon Vayishlach Uzaz Yadol Lechozes Aron. So they're bringing back the Aron, on the wagon, and they get to Goron Kidon. If you can, by the way, just put a little mental note over here on the word Kidon. So they get to Goron Kidon, and Uzzah goes to try to grab the Aaron because it looks like the Aaron now is slipping and falling. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Uzzah, nosav nasa, atzmo lo kol shekein. If the Aaron can carry its carriers, you don't think the Aaron can take care of itself? Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu was very critical of Uzzah for simply not realizing and thinking the Aaron is going to fall. It's not going to fall. Vayicharav Hashem b'Uzzah vayekosham al hashal. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was very angry, and Uzzah dies al hashal. Now that's a strange word, and it needs darshaning. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Chanamar al iske shalom. So one pshat of the Gemara is that it's because Uzzah was a shogeg. The word shal is connected to the word shogeg. In other words, he just simply was not thoughtful enough. He was not conscientious enough. The Chanamar shal satzracha befanav. And then the Gemara has another pshat of what shal is, and that is that Uzzah relieved himself in front of the Aron. Okay. And Rashi says that the word shal, anytime something goes in a descending trajectory, so you use the word shal. Rashi gives an example, like, let's say, for example, the word shilya. So shilya is the placenta that's dropped from the woman as she's giving birth. So when something is lowered and when something is dropping, so the word shal is there, and that is, that gives the Gemara an opportunity over here to darshan shal in this manner. So Uzzah died over there im Aaron Elokim with the Aaron, and the Gemara darshans this as well. Im Aaron Elokim. I'm sorry, and the drasha is that Uzzah is going to get a portion of the world to come. Im Aaron Elokim Aaron laolam kayam af Uzzah ba laolam haba. The Aaron is in perpetuity. Uzzah also is going to be in perpetuity. Rashi writes over here that even though the Aaron was hidden, but in other words, hidden but not lost, meaning just simply hidden. It's in Geniza. Okay, where exactly is it? Mishnah Shkalim tells an episode in which one of the Kohanim realized where it was hidden in Yerushalayim. Anyway, David al Asher Paras Hashem Peretz Beuzah. David was very upset. Amar Reb Lazar Nishtanu Panav Kicharara. So his face was blackened out of embarrassment. The Gemara says, "Is that true?" So Hasam Ksiv Af, Hachalok Ksiv Af. So the Gemara says, "Vayichar Af" is a reference to anger, right? Vayichar without the word Af, Charara, meaning embarrassment. Darish Rava Mimnei Manenash David. So how come David was punished? Meaning that the death of Uzzah is, the Gemara is attributing it to David. What did David do that he deserved that? Mimni Shikar Ladivre Torah Zmiros, because what he did is that he described Torah as a song. Shenemra Zmiros Ayilu Chukecha Beveis Mugurai. Pasuk in Tehillim. Perek Kuf Yotes 119. That's the big one. Right? Each one of the letters of the Aleph base is going to be repeated six times over. Six times 22, 176. 176 psukim in Perek Kuf Yotes. Which pasuk is this? 54. Okay? One of the Zines. So he describes the Torah as Miros, a song. And the Gemara is understanding this not as something that should be complimented, meaning that David's description of the Torah as a song, no good. Amalo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Divrei Torah Shekasav Bahem, Hataif Einecha Bo Ve'einenu, Ata Koreo San Zmiros, meaning Torah is a very serious venture. What you do is you get distracted by Torah for just a moment, right? I could just give you my own reporting. Happens to me way too often. In other words, you're distracted. In other words, you're not paying enough attention to Torah. And what happens is that it disappears, right? Hateif einecha. So in other words, you have to be focused, laser focused, concentrating on Torah all the time. And now David HaMelech describes it as a song, meaning that's, you know, it needs to be taken more seriously than that. And now, if I went to the cheder and I asked the kids in the yeshivas, meaning how should the aron be carried? So any kid who knows chumash, okay, knows well. What do you mean? The levim carry the aron. You don't load the aron up on a wagon. That's not how the aron is to be carried. And meanwhile, in the transportation of the Aaron, David HaMelech puts it on a wagon. So Akash Baruch Hu says to David, look, you ask a school child, he'll tell you that that's not correct, that's not appropriate. And David was nichshal on something which was so obvious. Right? We have a couple of Gemaras, right? I see this thread really clearly. We have a couple of Gemaras where David was nichshal on things which are obvious. Right? The strange Gemara that we saw together. You'll forgive me, I forget which Masechta it's in. Where David says, I'm ready for the test, and Akash Baruch, I think it's in Brachos. I'm not sure. Okay, that I'm going to take back. But David says to Akash Baruch, I'm ready for the test. Akash Baruch says, No, you're not. You're not ready for the test. And he says, sure. And he says, I'll test you. And I'll even tell you what the test is about. I'll even allow you time to prepare. It was a test in Arayos, and obviously it was regarding Bathsheba. David failed the test. In other words, right, just give you one other example. Like the counting of the Jewish people, right? The Torah says, don't do it, and David counted the Jewish people, okay? And so, like, and here now, just another Gemara, where, like, just, like, basic halacha, where David failed on. Okay. It's so interesting. Obviously, the Gemara has no shortage of complimenting David HaMelech, right? Ben's going to remind me, right? We've done, Baruch Hashem, we've done this long enough, right? The Gemara in Brachos, this is a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos that says that the elders are going to come and bench, and everyone takes the kosher bracha or offer the kosher bracha of benching, and everyone declines, right? Avram declines, and Yitzchak declines, and Yaakov, everyone's declining. Because they have some sort, in other words, they have some sort of imperfection. They're not worthy to bench. And then David HaMelech says, okay, no, I'll take it and I'll make the bracha. Kos Yeshua says, V'shem Hashem Akra. Right? I'll make the bracha. And so David, the Gemara is not short in its praise of David HaMelech. But then, in terms of his shortfalls, the Gemara is also not shy to point it out. And here's one of those Gemaras where the Gemara is not short and not shy to point out that David HaMelech made just a simple mistake. Something that a school child would tell you, don't do that. Okay. Anyway. So Beit Shemesh. Now this is the layover of the Aron. Right? The Aron stopped over in Beit Shemesh. So Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he afflicted the people of Beit Shemesh. They saw the Aron Mishum Derao Vayach. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Just because they looked. So Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Lazar Chad Amar. So what they were doing is that they were still harvesting, meaning the aron's passing by, and so what you need to do is you need to stop working, meaning you need to show the proper cover for the aron. Stop working and show your respect for the aron. They didn't, meaning they bowed to the aron. They showed some respect, but while they continued harvesting, that was no good. That's one. V'chara mar milinami amor. So, in another version, so they were also saying things as well. What were they saying? So we turn to the Amud Beis. Man amyacha de imar yasa. I don't know if I pronounced that well. Man asa alacha de it payasta. So they're telling the Aron, how did you allow yourself to get captured? Like who told you to get captured? So obviously. In other words, that is a most disrespectful way to talk. They're not talking to a person. They're talking to the Aron. But still, obviously, that reaches heights of disrespect. And for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them. Vayachbam shivim ish v'chamishim elef ish. So how many were killed? 50,000. That's a funny way to report the numbers. And the Gemara goes on to describe. Rabbi Abba v'Rabbi Lazar chanamar shivim ish ayu v'chol echad v'echad shakul kechamishim elef. Sanhedrin. Okay, so either it was 70, each one of them was equivalent to 50,000. Alternatively, it was 50,000, each one of them equivalent to 70. Okay. Okay, now, the Aaron stopped over in Kiryat Yarim. It was in the house of a man by the name of Oved, right? Oved Hagiti, and it stayed in his house for some time, 3 months in total, and he was blessed by the fact that he housed the Aron in his house. And finally, the Aron then made its final passage from back to Beis David, and it goes now from Kiryas Yarim to Beis David. And here we are now in Shmuel Beis giving a description of this part of the journey of the Aron. And this one is a much happier journey. So Vayiki Sadu no Saron Shishat Sadim Vaisbach Shoramari Uksiv Shiva Parim Vishiva Ilim. So over here they were offering karbanos with almost every step. They were offering karbanos as they were walking from Kiryas Yarim to Yerushalayim. Now remember, at this point in time there's no Beis HaMikdash, so you're allowed to make a Mizbeach outside the Beis HaMikdash, because there is no Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara is just simply going to be marveling at the number of karbanos that are offered. Amar Papa Bar Shmuel al kol psia psia shur umari. So for every step that they took from Beis Oved until Ir David, so they were off, with every step they were offering shur umari, an ox and a sheep. Al kol sheish v'sheish psios shiva parim v'shiva elim. And for every six steps that they took, seven cows and seven rams. Amalei Rav Chista im kein milei says kol eretz yisrael bamos. And so Rav Chista says, come on, that's insane. And basically, what you're going to have is a line of bamos altars going from Kiryas Yearim over to Beis David. Now, what exactly is bothering him? Just the sheer number, the mass numbers is bothering him, right? Or maybe just simply we don't want that many bamos. Okay, not totally clear, but anyway. Elam Rav Chista kol sheish v'sheish psios shur umaria kol shisho sedarim al sheish psios shiva parim v'shiva elim. Okay, so he says a little bit differently. For every six steps, it's going to be shur umari, and you do that six times, so then it's going to be seven and seven. Okay, still a lot, but significantly less than the way it was earlier reported. Okay, ksiv. Now over here, I told you to make a mental note earlier when we described how it got to the Goren. So the Aaron got to the Goren. It previously was called Kidon. And that's where Uzzah went to go catch the Aaron as the Aaron was, quote unquote, falling off of the wagon. So it was called Kidon. And the Gemara is going to point out that if I compare Divrei HaYamim to Sefer Shmuel, I will see subtle differences. There is going to be numerous differences. I do not want to give off the impression. I know Tanakh. I write, in other words, but if you were to read Divrei HaYamim and you were to read, the earlier Nevi'im, so obviously Divrei HaYamim is a recap, but with notable differences. And a number of times the Gemara just picks up on those differences. The Gemara does not pick up on all the differences, but on some of the differences, the Gemara is going to have drashas, and this would be an occasion. So on one hand, in Divrei HaYamim, it's called Kidon and Uksiv, but if I looked in Shmuel, say for Shmuel, it's called the Goren of Nachon. So is it the Goren of Kidon or is it the Goren of Nachon? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila Kidon l'vesof, uvesof Nachon. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, so it's given different names based on where we are on the timeline. Meaning, originally it was called the Kidon, or Kidon is like a spear, meaning it killed, because it killed Uzzah. Meaning that's where Uzzah went to go grab and reach for the Aaron as it was falling, and the Akash Baruch Hu killed him. But then, it transitions from being Kidon to being Nachon, because then it makes its way to the house of Oved. Oved was blessed. Rashi brings down over here. He had children. His daughters had children. Right, every one of them had six children. Rashi gives the total number of children that they had. Okay, fine. Anyway, Nimsas Ata Omer. Okay, so and our last point for today. Okay, and because we'll stop at the. We'll stop at the next junction, and we're going to go back to the crossing of the Yarden. And we took a long break from the crossing of the Yarden. We broke today for the discussion of the Meraglim. We broke today for a discussion of the Aron, in its transfer from the Plishtim back to David HaMelech, but with the with a lot of bumps along the way, literally. So the and figuratively. So the and now we go back to the crossing of the Yarden, and this will end our daf today. So how many times did the Jewish people set up stones? If I were to ask you that question, if I were to ask myself that question before having learned the remainder of the balance of today's daf, I honestly would have been so unbelievably confused, because stones were taken here, stones were taken there, and it's really hard to just put a handle on, is that the same stones, is that different stones? So here the Bryce is giving us a recap. There are three sets of stones. So when they were in Eretz Moav. So and Moshe was going over the entire Torah, writing it out in 70 languages. So that was one set of stones. Okay, that was done by Moshe.
So that's 70.
Shenemar.
There were 70 stones.
70 stones. All right, because it was right because it was written in 70 languages. I think so. There is a discussion. The Gemara doesn't make it clear exactly what was written on these stones, meaning it's simple pshat of the Gemara is that it was the entirety of the Torah, right, as we have it. Some are of the opinion that it was Targum Mitzvos. Okay, it's not perfectly clear. Either way, Shenemar, the Gemara cites the Pasuk Be'er, Yarden Be'er, Tzmov, Ho Moshe Be'er. Right, this is the very beginning of Sefer Devarim, where Moshe now is basically, this is it. I'm leaving. I'm going. Let's go over the Torah before I go. Okay, that is sets of stones number one. Ula halan. And now, hu omer v'chasaf t'alem is called divrei Torah zos. V'asya be'er be'er. Okay. So, and I'm sorry. And this is just simply an establishment of the word be'er, meaning the writing out of the entirety of the Torah. That's number one. Number two. The one that Yoshua set up in the Yarden. Shenemru shnemesrei avanim hekim Yoshua b'soch ha-Yarden. So in the fourth parak of Yoshua, so a description of the stones actually in the Yarden itself. You'll ask me, or I'll beat you to it, I'll beat you to the punch, I'll ask myself, what good are the stones in the Yarden? Meaning when the Yarden was split, that's great. But as the Yarden returns back down now to its normal strength, and now you have basically water flowing over the stones, so what was the point of those stones? Okay, good. I get to ask the question first. And I ask it first because I don't have an answer. And finally, V'achashayikim b'Gilgal, and the third set of stones are set up in Gilgal, Shenemar v'shtem esrei havanim, ha'ela asher lachu. And that is the third set of stones. That's also in the fourth parak of Yoshua, but the Gemara's understanding over here, another set of stones. Set of stones set up by Moshe, a second and a third set up by Yeshua, second in the Yarden, third by Gilgal. Okay, good. We're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we're picking it up with the words Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, you can put your bookmark over there. Okay, and today's Daf Lamed Hey. So what happened today? Okay, so today, drushas. Number of drushas. But if we could just quickly summarize, we went over Meraglim. Numerous psukim that we went over the Meraglim because yesterday we went off on the tangent, on the detour regarding the Meraglim. So in the beginning of today's Daf, and for a good part of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, so we went over some of the psukim by the Meraglim, and we darshaned numerous psukim by the Meraglim. Then, we went back to the Yarden and the crossing of the Yarden, and now we're looking at all the Jews going from the east side to the west side. The Kohanim are still on the east side. The water now comes back. And now how do the Kohanim get over? The Aaron carries them over, of course. As long as we describe the Aaron carrying the Kohanim to the other side, the Gemara now compares and contrasts. You know, I'll give you an occasion where someone forgot this and someone went to reach and grab the Aaron that was falling, and that was Uzzah. And that took us on our next tangent for today. And the Gemara goes into details regarding Uzzah, the mistake that he made, attributed all the way back to David HaMelech. David HaMelech shouldn't have sent the Aaron on wagons. That was a mistake. You ask a school child, they'll tell you. All right, Kohanim should be carrying the Aaron, not, and it shouldn't go in a wagon.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. And then more details regarding the pause of the Aaron in Kiryas Yearim by Ovid Agiti, and eventually the Aaron made its way over into Ir David. And finally, we go back and we finally finished up with the Yarden, the crossing of the Yarden, and the stones. How many sets of stones? We finish up today's daf with three sets of stones. One set up by Moshe on one side of the Yarden, that was in the plains of Moab, Arvos Moab. A second that was done by Yoshua in the Yarden. A third that was done by Yoshua in Gilgal.